fighting for America.
House Bill 2 will require that public restrooms and locker rooms be gender neutral. With respect to fitness centers and similar entities, that would mean that biological males who identify as women could be showering with your mothers, sisters, wives, and daughters with no advance notice to them.
Fighting for Idaho.
My wife Amy and I want to be proud of living in this state, and right now we're struggling with that. Passing HB 2 would be a great step in showing me that you want me here.
Fighting for you.
We should have faith that the people who know best how to run a business are the people who own and operate it.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO, phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, I get back to this issue involving Add the Words, and we've got a lot of email. By the way, if you missed some of the hearing yesterday, here's just some notable folks really laying down their own personal beliefs right here.
I am 16 years old and transgender. Upon coming out in seventh grade, I was stabbed. Due to my identity, this occurrence was merely brushed aside as self-inflicted harm. At the age of 13, I was cornered in a public woman's restroom. Regardless that I was assigned female at birth, the way I dressed and acted alienated me for being too masculine. In this restroom, I was repeatedly hit, bruises covered more than half of my body, and I vomited multiple times. Within the church, I was sexually assaulted.
Now, we don't know if anybody pressed charges. Obviously, any violence against someone is something that we have to take seriously and wholeheartedly and should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. On the other hand, the Add the Words folks leave out the part about people coming into your bathroom that are not men or women. I'll explain in a minute.
House Bill 2 will require that public restrooms and locker rooms be gender neutral. With respect to fitness centers and similar entities, that would mean that biological males who identify as women could be showering with your mothers, sisters, wives, and daughters with no advance notice to them.
There we have it. This gentleman spelled it out. We've been talking about it. Are you okay with that? Me personally, I'm not okay with it. Don't think that it should happen, but I think that this should be debated on this bill, don't you? I think that this should be a major, major talking point when people are discussing Add the Words.
My son came out to me shortly before his 13th birthday. He innocently told me he thought his life would be easier if he had been born a girl. At that time, I wasn't really listening. Then after he turned 13, he told me he was afraid of getting broad shoulders and a deep voice. Those were startling comments coming from my child, and I took notice. I immediately got him into counseling, and I found out that my child was transgender.
Non-discrimination laws like this do seem reasonable, but they are not. They give special rights to some people at the expense of others. They harm our freedom of speech and our freedom of religion, as we are seeing in courtrooms and classrooms across America.
Much more coming up, plus the feds are spying on you in your cars. We'll talk about that. Does the right to privacy exist when you're driving a vehicle on government roads with government-issued license plates? The latest on Bo Bergdahl, and some people are saying, hey, it's great that we've suspended the Bill of Rights, all that before 9 o'clock. And remember, why don't we give it to you right now? We'll give it to you several times this hour. And that is our NASCAR Driver of the Day. Want to make sure that you get a chance to jump in here and win that trip to the Daytona 500. Our NASCAR Driver of the Day is Kyle Busch, not Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch. When you hear Kyle, be caller 10, and you'll qualify for that trip to the Daytona 500. Joining us now, education activist Myla Wood, talk about a big event tonight. Myla, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you with us. So tell us about what's happening tonight.
Tonight at the State House, we were actually scheduled in Lincoln Auditorium, but we've been moved, so we'll talk about that at the end. We have flown in Dr. Peg Lucic. She's an educational expert who actually worked for the Department of Education, and she is going to go over the actual signed documents that Idaho committed to through all the education reforms.
Okay, and let's talk about why is that important for people listening at 580KIDO.
Well, because I think that some people just believe that Common Core was just standards, and that's not true at all. Common Core was one piece, along with the test, of a four-piece education reform package. So everything had to be agreed to over and over again.
And again, you're going to have to spell this out. A lot of people will think, you know, if they don't listen to Glenn Beck or don't follow your group, they're going to say, well, you know, our scores aren't what they should be. This is another attempt for the federal government to actually help kids get smarter, right?
Well, I guess if they had adopted higher standards, the report that they used that compared all the standards across states before we adopted Common Core actually left Common Core as a C for a score. So my question is, as a parent and as a taxpayer, why didn't we go for a state that had A standards?
Which would be what?
Massachusetts actually had really high English standards, and California actually had really high math standards.
Right. Doesn't it really come down to money?
Well, and money, that's an interesting point. We don't have any idea what the FBAC test is going to cost us. We don't have any idea what the rest of the unfunded mandates are going to be. And that's part of our issue with it. This is not a fiscally responsible program. And even though we keep asking for numbers and keep asking questions, we don't seem to be getting answers.
How frustrating is it that we have a Republican governor, a Republican legislature, a Republican state school superintendent who has kind of backed off her endorsement of Common Core, and yet they don't seem to have an issue with this. Maybe they give you a little lip service, but it's not like they're as fired up about it as you guys.
Well, I think what we're finding, the more that we talk with people in our legislature, they're not necessarily aware, unfortunately, of what we signed on to in those agreements. Most of those grants were 500 to 700 pages long, and they weren't signed on to by our legislature. They were signed by two signatures in our state, and that was it. So education is part of what we're doing now. So we are showing them the signed documents. We are showing them
Isn't that just a cop-out on their part for saying that they weren't informed on a big issue, though? I mean, if I'm an elected official, I can say, well, I didn't know about it. And yet that you got the data stuff, you have, talk radio, Glenn Beck, other people that these people should be listening to saying that this is a bad deal. You know, I got to say, did we just take the money and we didn't really care about the details? I mean, that's my speculation on this.
Yeah, well, I think that we were in a pretty – I think every state was in a pretty bad spot when we took the stimulus money. And unfortunately for Idaho, not really sure if it was our grant writer or what happened, but we didn't receive any more money essentially after the stimulus package funds. So we actually committed to these programs, and we committed to fund them as a state once they were implemented with no federal money. So other states – had great grant writers and won the competitions and got the money and at least had a little bit of help, but we didn't have that. And I think it's really hard when you have the people in power that signed the agreements, and they are telling the legislators, which they should be the ones that they should go to be trusted, and they're telling them, they're just giving them essentially misinformation.
Sure. So, Myla, how do you solve that?
Well, we just keep educating people. I guess we just keep trying to get the word out. We keep going on your show, Kevin Miller, KIDO, and we just try and get those documents out there and let people know what is happening in the four pillars of education reform.
What would you like to see? Because I admire what you and Stephanie and Stacey and so many others have done in between raising kids and families and businesses and everything else. This takes a lot of work, and y'all don't get enough credit for it. You're bringing in Dr. Lusk tonight. You're holding this forum. You're really doing a lot of, as they say in business, sweat equity. What, based on your research, based on your own experience, is the problem with our schools in Idaho? And I know you're not beating up on the schools because you want kids to get a better education just as if they were yours. So what's our issue here?
I guess in my opinion, from being a mom in the classroom, I think it for me goes back to No Child Left Behind. I think that is one of the other misconceptions also, is that people think that Common Core got rid of No Child Left Behind, and it didn't. No Child Left Behind just got duct taped and stapled back together and fixed, as this administration would say in their blueprint. And so it didn't go away. And so we kept the accountability arms of it. So I would say maybe getting rid of No Child Left Behind would be a good start, and releasing some of the pressures on the teachers and the schools and the districts.
Yeah, it's that those unfunded mandates that a lot of folks don't understand, where the feds come in and say, you're going to do this. Or when it comes down to the unfair testing, where you have a kid that might need some extra help, they have to have the same standard as somebody that might be in a regular class or an advanced class. And then the pseudo accountability of No Child Left Behind. So let's talk a little bit about tonight. If people that are, you know, as you are, Myla, you're very busy, but why should they come to this forum?
Well, I think this will be a really good opportunity to actually see these federal grants and the federal documents and the state documents that, and see what we have signed on to and see what money we did get. And it's a really good opportunity to ask questions and see, you know, how we can make a difference. Dr. Luksic has been in education for many years, and she was a grant reader, so she's pretty intimately knowledgeable about these things. So I think if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're a legislator, if you are a school administrator, I think that it would behoove you to be there, because there are parents like myself, and we are growing in numbers, and we are going to refuse the SBAC test this year. And part of the reason why is going to be presented here this evening.
What's the danger if you refuse to do that? Can they punish your kid or you in any way?
Well, you know, they actually aren't really giving me a clear answer in my district. They have told me that they may not graduate my son, who is a straight-A student and is a state-level athlete. So I don't know. It might come down to a battle of wills.
And you're willing to put that on the line because you believe so passionately that these tests are wrong.
Well, I don't really think that these tests are appropriate, for one thing. I think that they are not knowledge tests. They are psychometric tests. So they are testing my child's thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes rather than what he knows. And I think using these tests for an accountability measure for teachers is just not right.
And is that
yes, I am willing to stand up.
Well, thank you for that. But is that true that you're that we're talking about, then all this data is collected and given to the government?
Well, that's what our agreement says. So through the SBAC testing consortium agreement, we agreed to allow the federal government and third parties to come in, and we have given them access. We're not sharing data with them. We are allowing them access. And any data that was collected at the state level, so that also includes any of our data that's collected through interagency agreements, which most people don't know that the Department of Education, along with the Department of Labor and Department of Transportation, have interagency agreements to share data so that they can take your personal information and match it and share it down the pipeline.
You know, I was wondering, and we've heard this, based on your education of the legislators, will there be a move to try and take this down? The business consortium, the education consortium, were ready for you guys last time. Will there be a renewed effort to say we'll be seeing you in a Common Core here in Idaho?
We are working on that. We are working on that. And we do have some people that have opened their hearts and opened their minds, and they're looking at the agreements. And I think that they just basically are just not aware of the interagency agreements and those other things that were attached and that are underlying. So that's what we're trying to do. But, yes, we are working on that.
And, Myla, again, if people want more information, can they go to your Facebook if they can't remember where your event is this evening?
Yes, it'll all be up on Idahoans for Local Education or i4le.com, and we're also on Facebook.
Myla, thank you. Good luck tonight.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having us on.
Nope, take care now.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we have a young lady making a difference here. You don't like what your local government is doing, your state government is doing, she's getting involved. Very inspiring. 580-5436, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to traffic now.
Don Hannity, weekdays at 3, Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Fire! 726, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Getting a lot of emails over the Add the Words issue. By the way, another Add the Words hearing will be today at 8 o'clock.
That I knew myself to be a girl.
Hold on, let's try that again.
My earliest recollection is that I knew myself to be a girl. Everybody else told me I was a boy. And a lot of shame and entered in on that.
It seems to be a lot of psychological counseling there that's going on. A lot of people having their emotional problems broadcast throughout the world. But does this mean that we need to radically change the laws here in the state of Idaho?
We should have faith that the people who know best how to run a business are the people who own and operate it, not lawyers, government bureaucrats, or even legislators.
There we have it. Taking your calls on that, 580-5436. 580-KIDO, we go to the email. We go to Bob. Kevin Miller, poor transgendered men, women don't want to feel uncomfortable going into the opposite sex bathroom, so they want the law to be changed so everyone else feels uncomfortable. Give me a break. I have two friends who came out to me as being gay. One stayed the same and one became an in-your-face gay. Why should an employer have to keep a gay employee who comes out after they've hired, then turns into an in-your-face gay employee or a transgender employee who decides to change sexes after being hired? Why should their so-called rights take precedence over everybody else's rights, therefore giving them special rights? And quite frankly, if some of us are uncomfortable around folks, does that make us a bad person? That's my comments, not Bob. I mean, you know, you have people that are switching gears all the time. Do you really want that in your face? To Martha, Kevin Miller, if the person you quoted was born that way, how come he or she had to go through all that described emotional, physical, legal? I would venture to say that a great wickedness was performed by the medical people who for money assisted this poor person in his delusion that God created him could actually be transformed into something else. And further, why would the rest of us have to adjust our beliefs, our laws, and our ways to further assist in the delusion? It's science fiction at its worst. To Walt with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Walt.
Good morning. Sounds like tyranny of the minority. And you're dealing with these sexual deviants. Two questions. If I'm an employer and I can't fire a person, which basically is what's going on here, because I don't like them for whatever reason, all they have to do is jump up and say, hey, you're firing me because I'm a sexual deviant. So the other question that comes to my mind immediately, how do you keep these people out of bathrooms with little girls?
According to this legislation, you won't be able to.
That's right. And luckily, my kids are all grown now, and the grandkids are grown. But I was thinking, what do you do with 6-7-year-old kids when you got some turkey walking in there? Some of these people get really wild looking, and they go in there and they're talking to these little girls. How do you know that they're not going to try to drag one out? So anyway, and if dad is the only one that's with the kids, can he go in the bathroom with the women?
As long as he declares he's as long as he declares he's a woman.
Yeah, if he declared, but if he isn't, how's he going to go in there to be able to protect his girl from these deviants?
If he's a man, he can't go in. But if he says, I'm a woman, he can. We go to Sam in Meridian with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. You know, as a small business owner myself, this presents a significant concern to me. That being, if I have to let someone go, you know, I really don't want to let my employees go. But if someone who is a protected class and I have to let them go, the legal loopholes now that I'm going to have to jump through, because I may say, hey, business is suffering, you're the lowest person on the totem pole, you know, you're the least qualified, perhaps, to do the job that you're doing out of all the rest of the staff, so I'm going to have to let you go. I may tell them that, but what are the odds that they'll sue me because they were the only protected class in my office? Even though all of that is factual, you know, I've had to document. I mean, how much time now am I going to have to spend documenting additional information regarding that individual's performance, their work habits, their everything? I'll have to document that. So when, I mean, I don't want to let any of my employees go, but if they were a member of a protected class and I have to let them go because my business is suffering, then who's to say that they won't just jump up and down and say, oh, they're letting me go because I'm the only person that's a protected class in the office, and that makes everybody uncomfortable, so I'm going to haul you off to court and report you to the Idaho Human Rights Coalition or whoever it is that oversees all this stuff, right? Now, how much costlier does that become to me to run and operate my business? And then I have to wonder, do I even hire someone who is remotely close to that? I mean, I can't obviously come out and say, are you gay? Are you a lesbian? Then I can't hire you, right? But it presents a significant challenge to me as a small business owner saying, okay, if I hire more employees and they happen to be a member of a protected class, are they now going to be the last person I let go because the legal costs are just going to kill my business? I mean, this is a very slippery slope to get onto, in my opinion.
Sam, thank you for the call.
Thanks.
Liberal Steve with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. Good morning, 580KIDO. You know,
now we're up against the clock, so you got to make this quick.
Well, this Walt, number one, he's the deviant. He's the pervert. The number of pedophiles are usually white males with a family. They're not trans.
Based on what?
Based on statistics and facts.
What statistics?
Go to the FBI website. Okay, just forget that because you're not going to understand it.
Why are you so angry?
Bob, because of you fools out there.
Watch your language, sir.
These people. What, there was nothing wrong with fools?
Watch your language with that F word, buddy.
And Kevin. Kevin, yeah, he's a small business, right? He's got himself in the picture on the wall. He doesn't have any employees. And he'll never go anywhere if he's calling AM radio this time in the morning. He should be doing his business.
We have more successful business owners that listen to this station than anybody else. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
President Obama making news while he's out of the country. With the very latest, we go live to New Delhi, India, with Fox News Radio's Simon Owen. Simon, good morning. All right, we'll get back to Simon in a minute. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I was going to ask, what's it like in New Delhi? Some stories that we are working on here and always looking for your participation. We just don't report the news. We want to hear from you. Here's the latest concerning Bo Bergdahl.
Based on recent information, the investigation into Bo Bergdahl's disappearance from his Afghanistan post in 2009 is done, and the decision about what to do next is on the desk of a general courts-martial convening authority who could order a court-martial or could do nothing. In the days and weeks after Bergdahl was returned to the United States, men he served alongside said others were killed in battles that occurred during the search for Bergdahl. And in June, President Obama said this, quote, I make absolutely no apologies for making sure that we get back a young man to his parents, and that the American people understand that this is somebody's child, and that we don't condition whether or not we make efforts to try to get them back. And throughout the investigation into his actions, Bergdahl has been working a desk job at Fort Sam Houston in Texas.
There you have a man who made a mistake, Bo Bergdahl. You have his family who loves him. They happen to be different. Why didn't the president meet them when he was in Boise? Let's go live to New Delhi one more time with Simon Owen from Fox News Radio. Simon, good morning.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Simon, so what's New Delhi like for us in Idaho? How's it different from, you know, Idaho or Europe for that matter?
Well, very different. I mean, I don't know what you think about when you think of India, but for me it's sort of warmth, monkeys on the street and general chaos, perhaps. Much of New Delhi these days is pretty shiny. Certainly, you fly into a brand new airport. It's all very slick and works very well. If you walk around Old Delhi, though, you're back to very narrow streets, cycle rickshaws, the sick, sweet smell in the air, and the kind of, well, what they would call organized chaos that you maybe associate with it. So it's got its charms. You need to have patience when you come here, that's for sure. But as long as you're braced for that before you arrive, then the rewards are rich.
The president making news on his trip to India. Yesterday, his comments there had echoes across the Atlantic, talking about a broader, more concise U.S.-Indian relations.
Yes, and I mean, I think it's one of those relationships that actually both sides would look at and go, actually, why aren't we closer than we already are? And I think before there's been problems, firstly, India's been wary of the U.S.'s closeness to Pakistan, and also there have been issues with just one-off incidents that have happened, like this time last year. These two countries were barely speaking after an Indian diplomat was arrested in New York for visa fraud. India was furious about it, and yet they got a new prime minister here last May, Narendra Modi, and he is being seen, I think, as a bit of a once-in-a-generation kind of leader with very, very big ideas, and one of them is to make friends with America again, a good ally in the face of an increasingly assertive China, which is also a concern for the U.S., and so if you're friends again, then there's no reason to not unlock that and turn it into cash.
Simon, you take a look at the president in India before that in Saudi Arabia for the funeral of King Fahd. What does that mean that there'll be a new leadership there in Saudi Arabia to U.S.-Saudi relations? All right. We lost Simon. We'll just move on to be continued with Simon Owen. 7:45, Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. You know, just filling in the blanks here. Number one, you take a look at the death of King Fahd, one of our great allies. On the other hand, he did fund the terrorists that want to kill us, and now everybody is giving the president a 50% approval rating based on the fact that he's speaking out. He wants taxes that he voted against in the Senate, and he spoke out against in his book. So much for consistency, and I think a lot of us, we're just so oversaturated with negativity that you think to yourself, gosh, I dislike these gas prices to stay and to stay lower. And if you saw the news last night, now, again, I don't know if it's the national folks or other people, but it's almost like with Glee, no, not the TV show, that they're saying, hey, it looks like gas prices have bottomed out. They're going to go up, everybody. Why would anybody use that inflection in their voice when they're talking about sticking it to the consumers? I don't know about you. I haven't gotten used to seeing gas at $1.84. And quite frankly, as I've said before, this show is about honesty, integrity, and about positivity. We're the United States of America. If we want our gas prices at $1.84, our gas prices should be at $1.84. And the people that love big oil will disagree with me all the time. But big oil gets a lot of benefits with their government-sanctioned monopoly in this country. And you guys that drive the big trucks, I think we have more per capita than anybody in the world when we're talking about the state of Idaho. You should be all about this. Look, if we're going to, and again, this is where I differ with Sean and others, where they say, well, oil takes the risks and all that. Yeah, they do, but they get some subsidies from the government. They have lobbyists. If you wanted to start Craig from Boise's oil company, you couldn't do it because there would be government regulations and sanctions, and you couldn't get into the game. The government is sanctioning the oil monopoly. Okay, I'm fine for that. I'm fine for less competition if it means that gas stays this way. There's no reason why gas can't be $1.84 permanently. And if gas goes up too much, people in Boise, like the folks at the Department of Transportation that we told you about 2 years ago, were looking to raise the gas taxes to fund the roads. Look, if gas is $3.50, there's no way a federal or a state gas tax increase is going to happen. Now, you talk about things that impact your pocketbook. You can say, Bo Bergdahl doesn't matter to me, ISIS doesn't matter to me, but gas does each and every day. But when you're getting money from the lobbyists, they're going to use that money from the taxpayers to pay for their fat cat lunches. Hey, how about a gas tax for everyone? Look, nobody wants the tragedy of what happened in Minnesota with that bridge collapsing here in Idaho or anywhere in America. But you that run a business, and I have so much respect for those folks that run businesses, and I'm very honored. I don't say I. We're very honored that we have a lot of people. And sometimes they don't want to be named. They work each and every day to make a payroll. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he was just going over his expenses. It's worked out well for him. He has some great people that believe in him, great people that work with him. And he's just telling me the rent, the government regulations, everything he has to go through. And I go, well, wow, that guy's got incentive, initiative. He should be rewarded. The message of the president is, well, everybody's got some money. We need to give it to everybody. That's not how it works in America. But the idea that we're going to let folks come in and say, well, we haven't been able to pay for the roads, so we're going to have to raise your taxes. I'm sorry. Why didn't we do that last year? Were the roads better last year and magically have gone to pot this year? No, last year was an election cycle. Okay, number one. Number two, if we've had this big budgetary shortfall for so long, why didn't we address it? Why didn't we look as you do in your personal life when you're spending too much and you can't make the credit card payment or you're paying the minimum? What do? You tighten the belt. You know, I think that if we have the accountability of the credit card companies in our own government, imagine how efficient and profitable our state and federal governments would be. 7:50, Kevin Miller with you here. Let's get you to traffic at 580 K.
I am a wife. I am a daughter. I am a sister.
I am 16 years old and transgender.
My name is Emily. I'm a second generation son and daughter of this marvelous city and state.
I knew myself to be a girl. Everybody else told me I was a boy.
When I was 15 years old, accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have a husband and I'm gay.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Coming up next hour, we'll speak with the state treasurer, Ron Crane. We'll talk about how he's going to give you some money and look at the legislative season. And, of course, when we're talking about money, getting the return on your investment, when we're talking about paying taxes, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Here's something that... Not that we're going Alex Jones on you, but I think you're going to be interested in this story from Fox News Radio.
The government has long been tracking cars and trucks near the border with Mexico to help fight drug cartels. But for the last several years, according to the Wall Street Journal, the DEA has been working to expand the database throughout the United States, building a national database to track in real time the movement of vehicles all around the U.S., a secret domestic intel gathering program that scans and stores hundreds of millions of records about drivers. And the target is now more than drugs, widening to include crimes such as kidnappings, killings, and rape. Bill Fitka, Fox News Radio.
So here we have it from Fox News Radio at 580 KIDO. The DEA is using your license plates as a way of collecting a national database. How about this, a secret database, and they've got these license plate readers. And before it was, we were going to do stuff to talk about the narco-terrorist. Now it's other crimes. Of course, where's the warrant? Jim and Star with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Millie. Man, that's crazy. Just one other way to track us, right?
Exactly. Who would want to track me?
I know. I mean, you're safe and sound, dude. You're not going to get in any trouble, and neither am I. But it's just, what a joke. It just makes me sick that that's what we call America these days. But I had to call. I don't know why this add the words these people. And when I say these people, I don't mean as in hetero and homosexual. I mean these people that are pushing this agenda. Man, it's so over the top ridiculous, and I just wanted to throw this out to the people that are involved in this campaign and also the gays and lesbians and transgenders and all those other things that are included in that group now. There are really great places to go in this country that are super gay friendly and super gay tolerant
And there's great advantages to being gay in those communities. And just like we have great advantages being here in Idaho for some of the things we have to offer, being gay and being a transgender and walking around like a queen bee and doing all those things that they like to do so flamboyantly, it's not something that is very welcome here. And it's not something that's easily tolerated. And probably won't be accepted. So I think the writing's on the wall, Kay Millie.
All right, Jim, fair enough. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, time for traffic. Good morning, Dave.